Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So that's President Trump talking about his big, beautiful spending bill. Robert Hogan joins us now, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU, to talk about it. How you doing, Dr. Hogan?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about, I saw a CBS report last night where the reporter was directly quoting President Trump as saying, "Don't F with Medicare," telling the Republicans. But yet, Steve Scalise was on social media saying that Medicaid was for people, not for only people that were disabled, not able-bodied people that could work, et cetera. And I'm paraphrasing Steve Scalise there. I guess The question is, are they all on the same page here when what's in this big, beautiful bill? And I guess the question that precedes that is, does anybody really know what's in this big, beautiful bill?
Yeah, it's still a little unclear. It's my understanding the Rules Committee is still meeting right now. They met starting at 1 o'clock last night to hammer out the rules in the House, and what that means is it really sets the parameters of the debate, what is going to be in the bill ultimately, and whether it can be amended and that sort of thing. So they're still trying to decide what's going to be in the bill. Trump went to Capitol Hill yesterday. It's not certain whether or not he did any good, or he may have done some harm. He did make it clear, though, that he wanted Republicans online, that everybody needed to vote for it. It was a test of whether or not you were, I think at one point he said something like, if you're a real Republican, you're going to vote for this. It is something he is putting his political capital on. Mike Johnson's political life is on the line as well, whether or not he can deliver. It's a huge balancing act for Republicans. Remember, this is a piece of a reconciliation process. They only need to pass it with a majority, and that doesn't sound like very much given the fact that the Republicans hold a majority in the House of Representatives, but they can only stand to lose 3 votes. And it's a balancing act for Republicans. All the Democrats are going to vote against it in the House, and so they have to all be on board with it. But the balancing act, on one side, you've got a lot of the hardline members of the Freedom Caucus, conservatives, who want to use this opportunity that the Republicans control the federal government. They want to see real structural changes that make long-term changes into social programs. They want to cut these things even more. On the other side of the Republican caucus, you have a lot of the Republicans that are in swing districts in the blue states who are saying, look, don't cut too much. If you cut too much into Medicaid, you're going to harm my chances of winning reelection. It's going to make it difficult for Republicans to retain control of the House of Representatives in the 2026 election. So Johnson is really he's got a major balancing act to play here. And if you will recall, when Biden was the president Democrats, still had a lot of control in both chambers, Johnson was able to get things done in the House, but only because Democrats at the very last minute got a lot of concessions and then supported what he passed. He was never really able to pass anything of consequence budget-wise that didn't get the support of Democrats. So this is, Mike Johnson's reputation here is on the line. This is the big game for him. If he can deliver on this, his capital goes up greatly. The price of his stock goes up greatly, and we'll have to see. And Republicans win. If they get it passed, they got to make certain that a majority of the Senate, the 53 members of the Republican coalition in the Senate, whether or not they agree with it. And if they do, it can be passed with a bare majority in the Senate. You don't have to worry about the filibuster because the process is working under reconciliation. So this could be, the Republicans are on the verge of a considerable win with the president's priorities if they can pass it. But that's the question. Can they pass it? If they can't, then this is a huge win for the Democrats by being able to stop them.
I'm getting some texts from a lot of people here trying to, quote, help me out, saying you're confused. Medicare is different from Medicaid. Whoever's texting this in, y'all, you need to go do some research, because the president was specifically talking about Medicaid, not
Absolutely.
Medicare. And the professor will tell you the difference when we come back. And he'll also explain why the president is concerned politically with Medicaid, not Medicare. So I know what I'm talking about, and the president knows what he's talking about as well. Y'all need to look it up to make sure you know what you're talking about. 620 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL. To be clear, I said Medicaid because it stuck out with me last night that the president would say don't blink around with Medicaid, because that is a program that's run by the states but funded by the federal government. Explain the difference, if you will, Professor, between Medicare and Medicaid, and why the president would be concerned with
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra, here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Medicaid as it relates to elections, because you're talking about a different constituency. Am I not correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Medicare is a program that started in the mid-1960s that everyone who works pays money into, and it is basically insurance for when you retire. When you get to a certain age and retire, then you receive benefits, and it is a health insurance program for people who are old. Medicaid is a program that is means-based. It's funded by the federal government and the state governments, and it's based upon your income levels, and it also, some of it goes to disabled people. Medicaid is what is on is being considered for cuts, because they're thinking about cutting whatever the bill happens to be. It's going to be a substantial amount, maybe $1.5 trillion over the next decade. And a lot of people are concerned about this because these are real cuts to people who are, for example, in nursing homes. About 60% or so of people in nursing homes nationwide are able to be in nursing homes because they receive Medicaid. In Louisiana, about 75% of people in nursing homes receive Medicaid based on their income. So this has the potential to have major cuts for that are real and that can affect a lot of people. And that is why a lot of members of Congress are concerned about this, even ones that are in very red parts of the country. You think about very rural parts of states like Louisiana. You've got a lot of people who are that rely on Medicaid, especially when they get old and they go into nursing homes. They don't want, the members of Congress don't want to are fearful of the backlash that might have and how it could affect them electorally. So these are real big issues that we're confronting. Of course, there are a lot of people who argue that the Medicaid issue is something that we need to think about and talk about and maybe reconsider. And some members of Congress, some of the members of the Freedom Caucus, want very deep cuts and structural changes in those programs. So that's the balancing act that Mr. Johnson, Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson is having to balance right now to keep his caucus together.
Representative Johnson from Louisiana, a lot of people, for example, in Julia Letlow's district, about a third of them in her district, and she was elected by a wide margin, are enrolled mm-hmm. in Medicaid.
Absolutely.
So the Republicans are walking a fine line here, and I'm just wondering about Mike Johnson trying to wrangle his coalition. He's from a poor state, but maybe yep. the people that he's trying to wrangle are not from a poor state. So it goes back to all elections being local, and I just think this Medicaid part of it is a big thing, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely huge, and I think it's a lot of the success of this, I think, is going to come down to this issue. And while a lot of people are saying, and a lot of Democrats who are just standing by, watching to see what the Republicans are doing, are thinking to themselves, the Republicans are going to have a very hard time getting something like this passed. And if they do, the Democrats are going to pounce. You can see the commercials now going into 2026. look, Republicans cut social programs, cut Medicaid by a certain this amount, and you're seeing the consequences of it. This is you know, elections are always in the background of American politics, especially in the House of Representatives, where you have them every 2 years, and this is something that is certainly being weighed in the balance.
So the president gets this. He's trying to get the other Republicans to get this. That's up to Mike Johnson to get them to get this, or is that up to the president to get him to get this? Because ultimately, the president's not going to take blame for it.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell yesterday with what he said about Medicaid. You know, he does not want to get blamed for it. But, I mean, ultimately, it's his fellow partisans who are having to walk the line on this one. And it sounds to me like he's wanting to not so much give support or cover to them as he is trying to tell them, hey, you know what you need to do for me. Go out there and do it.
Because if he loses the House, he's got trouble for the next 2 years.
Exactly. And that has been the pattern, I might point out, in the last several decades in the United States, as you see, you know, a president getting elected and bringing the House of Representatives with him. Even though the coattails have been really short in recent years. And he has the first 2 years to get done what he needs to get done. And then the House of Representatives changes to the other party, and it makes it, you know, exceedingly difficult then to get things done. So, I mean, the Republicans had difficulty getting things passed even when they have a majority, but it has been a bare majority. It would be even more difficult if they were in the minority.
It's amazing. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. It's amazing some of the texts I'm getting. Trump defenders saying, you're obsessed with Medicaid. I'm not obsessed with anything. I'm telling you what your boy, President Trump, said. I'm just repeating what he said. So like it or not, don't blame me. I'm just telling you what President Trump himself told the Republicans, which is, don't blank with Medicaid. So you can deal with that however you like. 6:30, we'll take a break. Come back. WWL.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.